Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Us. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we, what are the differences between a person and a son, what is our purpose, why do we hold certain beliefs, why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way. Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would also like to thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me, my meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives a Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I do invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural laws versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keep us in bondage, slavery? So stay tuned in for all of our studies, then show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives a Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. And this month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Confusion Programs by Servant King, presented by Marcus. Marcus' website, www.servantking.info.com. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hidden in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward. If you can renew your mind, we have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Confusion of mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problem so that we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity faces, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solution to these problems. These root core causal factors is about creating a positive change in your world. It is about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these causal factors is not just about your awakening, but about taking action in the process of informing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root cause of factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan, He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
Part 4. In May 2018, as I laid in my bed, the Creator began to open my eyes to more questions I had concerning this life we live on earth. It was the day of the royal wedding in England. I wondered how the royals made their money, where it came from, and what was their industry of choice. With my handy iPhone at my side, I Googled the answers, which revealed many things to my surprise. I discovered the wars between the North and the South and the rebuilding of the United States of America and a deal made with the foreign affairs and the fact that we are no longer the United States of America, but only the United States as established by the Act of 1871 when the United States became a corporation. The unveiling did not stop here. The Creator led me to many internet documents, YouTube video books, and periodicals. This revelation was mind-shattering. Again, the Jesus Christ I had read about in the Holy Bible was not a historical man, spirit, at all. Preface, Part 4. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. What is a servant king? A servant king is the birthright of every man from the moment of his first breath until his natural death. Birthright is a term not much used in our vocabulary today. Most people would equate it with some royal lineage or maybe their right to citizenship. This is our birthright that holds our inheritance, which in turn holds all of our power, property, rights, and duties, and is our single most valuable possession. Unfortunately and unwittingly, we have all been deceived into abandoning our birthright in order to assume a graven identity. This presentation does not contain Marcus' opinions or what he believes to be true, only that is really happening in our everyday lives. During Marcus' quest, he made many discoveries that are not only unbelievable, but apparently are real, true, and happening. He learned that belief is only the lack of knowledge, a poor and foolish substitute for the truth. Belief stands opposed to knowledge. The concepts explained in the presentations affects everyone, the people of every nation on earth. Some of these concepts are easy to see once they are exposed, but some are very difficult to grasp. There is a subtlety to them. Right now, these concepts are foreign and alien to your way of thinking. These concepts will require you to think like you have never thought before.
The Living Testimony is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives the Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Hi, my name is Marcus and welcome to Servant King. This program is called Confusion of Things. I'm going to speak about three different things, three confusing concepts. These concepts are very important to understand in order to understand the Unraveled programs. They are essential components of the swindle. Now, what I've been showing you so far is just a counterfeit, our forged system. Do not think that our legal system is a lawful system, because it's not. It's a pseudo-law. It's a de facto law. It's what's happening in fact, but there is no lawful authority for it. This is what de facto means. The three concepts we're going to talk about are attorney, license, and name. And we're going to start with an attorney. Everybody knows what an attorney is or has met an attorney, but what really is an attorney? Well, the word formerly signified any person who did business for another. But today you think of it as someone who acts for you in court, defends you in court, in a court of justice, or transacting other business in which legal rights are involved. So an attorney is someone who acts for you, someone who's appointed or assigned in your place. If I say to you, will you get that book off the table for me, bring it over to me, you are my attorney. In essence, you're doing somebody else's business, you're acting for them. So the man who, or the person who got me the book is my attorney. Now, if you do not own anything, everything you do must be done as an attorney for another, with property belonging to another. You must be conducting their business as an attorney, for which you have to account. This is why we have accountants today. Now, here's a huge revelation. If you owned your property, you have no need for a power of attorney, would you? And if you owned your own property, you would mind your own business and not be conducting somebody else's business. If you have a written will, and most people do, their last will and testament, what you're going to do with your property after you die, you will see that in the case of your death, you will appoint your wife or husband as your attorney. Did you know your wife or husband is an attorney, or that you can make them your attorney? Because after you die, your wife or husband will be running your business, which before you died, you were running, which belonged to somebody else. So when you do anything, when you do not own anything, the best you can do is become an undertaker to manage someone else's property, to conduct their business and become a trustee for their property and maybe a surety for their debt. So let's break down what an attorney really is. Attorn comes from the word attorn. Means to turn or transfer homage and service from one lord to another. This is the act of feudatories, vassals, or tenants upon the alienation of the estate. Acknowledge a new landowner as one's landlord. So, when you attorn, when you become an attorney, you turn. You turn away from one lord and turn to another lord, facing another lord. I used to be your man lord, now I'm this lord's man. Transfer homage, did become his man. And I'm no longer serving this lord, I'm now serving this lord. And I acknowledge this new landowner as my superior, my landlord. Okay? During that process, you also alienated your estate. So whatever property you had becomes this lord's property. You've alienated yourself, separated yourself from it, or transferred it. Attornment, the act of a feudatory, vassal or tenant, by which he consents upon the alienation of an estate to receive a new lord or superior and transfers to him his homage and service. Alienation, the voluntary and absolute transfer. So there's a voluntary and absolute transfer going on of title and possession of real property from one to another when you do an attornment, when you become an attorney. Homage, did become his man of life and limb, everything about you. Remember, become does not only change your being, but your place of being. This is where your address, residence, abode, your postal service is very relevant to your being. It is your address that signifies what you are of, where you came from, what you belong to. Okay? Today we think of an attorney as one who is appointed or admitted in the place of another, a professional person authorized to practice law, conduct lawsuits, or give legal advice. Well, we do all those things. Everybody does. We are all attorneys. We all have a power of attorney. If you have the power of a plumber or a power of a carpenter, you are a carpenter. So if you have a power of an attorney, you are an attorney. And you can give this power to another to act for you. Just transfer your attorney. Okay? So when you go into court, who are you representing? Who are you acting for? In whose place? Who are you appearing for with your power of attorney? You cannot appear to be you. When you go to court, you don't go there as you, do you? No, no. The summons or whatever you got said you are to appear in person. You have to appear to be something, and you do that using your power of attorney. So you appear as the Queen's son, or as the father's son, or the son of Canada, or whatever. A power of attorney at law is a power of choice. So a power of attorney is a power of choice. There's a choice going on here. And that choice is to turn or not to turn. That is the question. A betrayal, a traitor, to assume the trait of another character. The choice is treason. Will you turn away from one superior to another? Will I or will I not use my power, my life, to commit treason? A licensed attorney is one who has committed treason, an act of deliberate betrayal, perfidiousness, a betrayal of a trust. A licensed attorney, or this act of betrayal and trust, this treason, has been committed or expressed when they are called to the bar. That's when they do the actual tournament. Your treason is only implied until you express it by assuming it, by attorneying to the jurisdiction of a court. So when you committed an attornment, and we all have unknowingly, if you're a member of any country, you've committed an attornment, you became a feudatory. You started a feud. You did something that started a feud. With who? With your old landlord. You were born to a landlord. Now you might be saying, I wasn't born to a landlord. Yes, you were. Or you could not have a power of attorney, because an attorney is one who turned away from one lord to another. If you weren't born to a landlord, it wouldn't be a power of attorney. Okay? A feud is an extreme hatred. If I use the word enmity, you may understand real law. If I use the word adversary, you will understand the legal system. A feud is primarily a deadly quarrel. Hatred, contention that would be terminated only by death. A feud, extreme hatred. A feudatory, the relation of a feudal vassal to his lord. A person holding a fief, a person who owes allegiance and service to a feudal lord. Feudalism, vassals were protected by lords who they had to serve in war. Okay, so whoever your new lord is, you have to serve them militarily. Vassals. Vassals are a person holding a fief, a person who owes allegiance and service to a feudal lord. So the Queen of Canada would be a feudal lord. All monarchies are feudal lords, because they're all new lords that you've turned to. Vassalage, the state of a serf. So, if you've done an atonement, you're a serf. What's a serf? Serf is a person who is bound to the land and owned by the feudal lord. Persons do not come from the land. Only a man does. The man is not owned by the feudal lord. Only the person. You believe you're owned, but not in reality. Held of a superior on condition of military service. So anything you've ever paid a fee for is a feud. If you look at the last page of your passport, you will notice that you are required to do military service. And if you have dual citizenship, you have to fight in both countries. It's on the very last page of your passport, right in the print there, okay? A fee is an interest in land capable of being inherited. So the land you think you own is only held in fee. contingent on military service. So if you own, think you own your land that you pay taxes on and everything, you don't own it. You hold it in fee. You hold it as a because of an ongoing feud with your original landlord, and this new lord comes in, okay, that is now your new superior. So this is why this new lord is called a feudal lord. There's a feud going on here. So you do not hold your land because of the taxes you pay. No, no, no. It's because of your military service. So that's fee simple. When you hold your land in fee simple, you hold it based on your fee. And it's only the interest in this estate that you're transferring to your descendants or whatever that you think you've inherited. A liegeman is a person holding a fief, a person who owes allegiance and service to a feudal lord. Liege means to bind, so there's a bond to your new feudal lord. Liegeman, a vassal, a subject. So that would be a man who's in bondage. There's a bond here, okay? This man is bonded. And religion, of course, comes from this word, which means to bind, but in this case, to bind anew. So when you turn from one lord to the other lord, you have a religion, okay? A new religion, if you like. So based on all this, and we're all attorneys, we've all done this. Sorry to tell you this, but we are all scumbags, not just the lawyers. Lawyers are just learned scumbags. They already know they're a scumbag. We've all committed an atonement. We've all chosen a new landlord. We've all committed treason. So, what is an attorney? Well, an attorney has turned away from his real landlord, a betrayal, that's treason, became the new man of this new lord, that's homage, that's an illegitimate son, because it's not the real son, so that's a bastard. So far we have an attorney is treason and a bastard, okay? Now let me impress this on your mind, and you should wake up and listen to this carefully, because the most fundamental thing in law is property. If you do not own anything, then you do not own anything. And I don't think you understand that yet. Sorry to be condescending, but I don't think you do. If you don't own anything, you do not own anything. Okay? If you don't own the good things, you don't own the bad things. If you don't own the bad things, you don't own the good things. If you don't own anything, you don't own anything. Period. So, you do not own any debts, liabilities, responsibilities. You own nothing. Because you own nothing. But you were tricked into becoming a surety when you engaged in an undertaking. Otherwise, you will never have anything. Because you alienated your estate when you atoned. You gave up everything when you committed treason, a betrayal to your original landlord. The swindler cannot have it both ways. Your whole legal and financial system is a scam and a fraud from its conception to its deception. It is stealing and you are letting it happen. Let me explain it this way. Listen carefully again. If you own something, you can rule over it. If you do not own anything, you cannot rule over anything. None of your bills, which you are a party to and you think is law, is valid in law. It is impossible. The rule you made cannot be valid in law. Why? Because you cannot own something and not own something at the same time. It's impossible. Remember I said in the confusion of voice program on words, I said you cannot be and not be at the same time, which means necessity. You may have thought that was a grammar error because it's a confusing sentence. So let me write it this way. You cannot what? Own something and not own something at the same time. Either you own it or you don't. You can't have it both ways. See, if you ask your lawyer this, go and talk to your lawyer and say, do I own my car? Do I own this or own that? He'll turn to you and probably say, well, it depends what you mean by own. Well, what do you mean, what it means? If you said to your lawyer, is that a dog? He would probably say, well, it depends what you mean by dog. You see, the legal system is pseudo-law. We can make anything be whatever we want. We create fictions. We create this becomes that. That is this. This is pseudo-law. This isn't real law. So when you say you will wear a seatbelt, or I will not keep this without a license, you can't make that law. You can't write a bill and say, I owe that, because you don't own yourself. You don't own anything. It's a nullity in law. You're not responsible for it. You see now how important it is to own property? Now, if you own property, you are completely and totally, absolutely responsible for it. Now, you do not have a say in anything if you own no property. You own nothing. So what is your democracy? Oh, we all have a say. We can vote. We can... No, no, no. This is an advisory thing to your queen. Democracy is a trick to bind you under some obligation and undertaking, to say this is my advice and I consent as part of the legislative assembly. It's a trick. It's not your law. You don't own anything. You also can't steal anything. It's impossible. Nobody owns anything. How can you steal something from somebody? Go, oh, you stole my lawnmower. Oh, you don't own that lawnmower. The best a guy can do that you stole the lawnmower from, who had it in his possession, is he phones the owner and the owner sends the cops, because the cops work for the owner. The cop doesn't work for you. So you see, when love, faith, and trust does not work, when winning your hearts and minds does not work, we have to just use a blatant lie. We can't trick you. You're too smart for that. So we just have to come out and lie to you and hope you believe it. And the bigger the lie, the easier it is to believe. When I show you why we're doing this and where this comes from as a matter of law and what the alternative is, you're not going to feel too well. Some of you will be so angry when you realize the life you've been living and how you've been deceived and cheated and stolen from. So, once again, what is an attorney? Well, the best definition for an attorney is a treasonous bastard. That's it. I'm not making this up. I've just shown you what all the words mean, exactly what an attorney is. An attorney is a treasonous bastard. So next time you see your lawyer, just say, good morning, you treasonous bastard, and he'll just laugh. He already knows he is, or she. So that's an attorney. What's a license? You ever wonder what a license is? We all have licenses. If you don't have a license, that's something abnormal. That would be peculiar. We have licenses to do almost everything. We're told we can't do this or that unless we have a license. We can't do this unless we have a license. You're told you can't do that because we license you. If you do that, your license could be suspended. If you do that, you'll never get a license again. You'll never be able to do that again. And we've been told that license is a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege. But nobody ever told me what a license is. Now, everybody has licenses because nobody owns any property. We have marriage licenses, driver's licenses. We have a license to hunt, a license to sell liquor, a license to have a yard sale, a license to have a dog, a license to be a doctor or a lawyer or an electrician. You need a license to build a house. You need a license to do just about anything. If you ever wonder if you need a license to get a license, the answer will surprise you. The answer is no, but you have to have given a license at one point to get a license. The fact that you need a license for just about anything should tell you you do not own anything, because a license is the authority or permission to do what is otherwise unlawful, illegal, a tort, or a trespass. But if you own something, you have the exclusive control, management, use, possession, and disposal of the thing with no outside control. If you owned your property, you would never need a license for anything. Well, you could give yourself a license, I guess, but... So a license, again, tells you whatever you're getting the license for, you don't own it. You're doing something illegal and lawful. You're trespassing on someone else's property. They're giving you permission to do that. So let's look a little more closely at what a license is. definition of a license is the permission to do or have or act or be something which would otherwise be unlawful, illegal, a tort, or a trespass. There is no lawful definition for a license. Now, I know that's the legal definition, but there is no lawful definition for a license because it is unlawful. A license is inherently unlawful, so you can't have a lawful definition for it. It is the permission to break the law. That's a license. But I thought law was that which is laid down, set, fixed, established. Who can give me permission to break the law? To do what is illegal? To commit a tort or a trespass? Even God doesn't let you break the law. He says you have to obey all my laws. So without permission to break the law, it would be breaking the law. Well, now I'm getting more confused. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but that's retarded. Let's see if I got this straight. Driving is not right, so it can only be wrong, against the law. But I have a privilege to do what is wrong if I get permission to do what is wrong, and that will make it right. And that is a license. What a wonderful world we live in, eh? Okay. Let's see if I got this. Try to explain it to me again. I do not want to be stupid, do I? No. I'm going to have to try to understand harder. I want to be normal like all the other boys and girls. Yes, I want to be normal. So let's see if I got this right. You cannot do this because it's against the law. Okay, I got that. But if we say you can break the law, then it's not breaking the law. Okay, I almost got it. Maybe if I was on some medication, that would help me. Do you have any medication called Brain Dumber? This is insanity, boys and girls. And everyone has numerous licenses. Think about it. So let's explore this concept of a license a little further without being on medication. Forget the legal definition. Let's look at what a license really is. A license is lawlessness. Yeah. Excessive freedom, lack of due restraint, or used in contempt of law. When liberty becomes licensed, dictatorship is near. Statement by Will Durant. License in pleading, a name of a plea of justification to an action of trespass. So when you trespass on someone else's property, and they come by and go, hey, that's not your property. You go, I got a license. I'm allowed to break the law. Okay, sorry, be on your way. So a license is permission to trespass on someone else's property. So if you need a license to marry someone, you're marrying someone else's property. If you need a license to get married, it's because you can't be married without permission, without a license. If you need a license to drive, you're driving as someone else's property, with somebody else's property also. So how do you drive? Well, you drive in person. Anything you do in person is regulated or can be regulated. After all, you've been subsidized with an identity or a new face, and government can regulate whatever it subsidizes. This is their man now, but it's not really a man anymore, it's a person now. So anything you do by witchcraft or the occult can be regulated, because that's what this is. Personification is witchcraft, it's the occult. A license is freedom to deviate deliberately from normal applicable rules or practices. Anyone who deviates is a deviant, okay? Not staying on the right path. Licentia, one who has a license. Someone who's lawless, who wants to practice lawlessness. As a licentiate in physics or medicine. Because you see, those things are against the law. You can't be a doctor or a lawyer. Or, those things are against the law unless you have a license to be that. Licentious is one who's holding license or using license, indulging freedom to excess, unrestrained by law or morality, loose, dissolute, a licentious man. Licentious, excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the just restraints of law. How many times are you charged with something, hauled into court, fined, or put in jail because you went beyond, you transgressed the just restraints of law? Well, a license is permission to break the law, to go beyond the just restraints of law. It's the quality of being lewd and lascivious. Lewd, given to unlawful indulgence of lust. Addicted to fornication or adultery. So, if someone who has a license is addicted to fornication or adultery, whatever those things are. Lascivious, driven by lust, preoccupied with or exhibiting lustful desires, loose, wanton, lewd, lustful, a lascivious man. Still think a license is something good? Why are we using a license? Law is the god of wise men. Licentiousness is the god of fools. There's a fool, there's a trickery going on here in the process of a license. I'm going to show you what the trick is, or part of the trick anyways. So why do we use licenses in our what we call our law? What is its purpose? The short answer is to get around the law. And the specific answer is in order to regulate and control ourselves. After all, there's only us people here. You see, we are both lawmaker and law obeyer. That would be self-governing. I will govern myself, thank you very much. The one above the law, I'm above the law, but I'm also underneath the law. A sovereign citizen and a subject, the ruler and the ruled, the protector and the protected, the regulator and the regulated, the guy who pays and the guy who gets it for free, the free man and the slave. You are the owner and the owned. Wake up, people. In a self-governing society, you are both of them. Look around and give yourself a shake. There is nobody else here. Are we all on brain dumber? There is no they or them, which you argue with, protest against, fight with, or write to. This is an insane delusion. The government is no one. There are only us people here. It is only a public trust. The they or them that you argue with is you, yourself. The people you call the government are not the government. They work for the government. Let me say that again. The people you call the government are not the government. They work for the government. They work for you, the government. So who's the government? You. They work for you, the government. So let's go back to license. So in order for us to convict each other of a crime, we have to prove your intent and your act. To break the law, to commit a crime, you have to do something that's wrong and you have to know it is wrong. So you have to do the act and your intention was to do something wrong or there can be no guilt. So a typical statute will read, no person shall drive a motor vehicle except under the authority of a license and subject to the regulations. The law is, no person shall drive a motor vehicle. That's the law. Okay? Now, if you want to break the law, you need permission. You need permission to break the law. If you exercise your privilege to apply for a license, we now have the proof of your intent to break the law. You see, it is the license which is the prima facie evidence, I want to break the law. Now we only need to regulate how you act. Okay? The intent and the act. We already have the intent. These regulations are found in the Highway Traffic Act. This is how you have to act. So if you act wrong, we have a crime because of the license. Act right and there is no crime. The license is the intent and it is already established. Any license is the proof that you are intending to break the law. Now let us see if you do. Pretty sick, don't you think? Are you sure you want to engage in licentious behavior? Now some of you will think, I will not get a license to drive or a license to be married or whatever. And I won't be breaking the law then. No, no, no. The law is you can't do any of these things. The law is no one can drive, period. That is the law. You see, what you don't realize is this. You are completely owned. You have no power. You have nothing. You own nothing. Getting married in Canada is against the law. You need a license. To work in Canada is against the law. You need a license. To do anything, you need a license. Just because some things aren't regulated doesn't mean you own those things. This is what really woke me up when this whole thing started. So, a license is someone who engages in licentious behavior. Are you sure you want a license for anything?
Let's continue with Marcus.
The third concept is name. Now, name. You're probably thinking, oh, what's he going to tell us about name now? Can't go wrong with the name. It's just your name. Can't be anything bad there. Can't be some sort of counterfeit forged thing going on there, can there? Well, you'd be surprised. The third thing we're going to look at is name. You're probably thinking, oh, what's he going to tell us about name now? Can't go wrong with a name, can you? Well, you'd be surprised. What is a name? A name is that which a thing is called. The sound or combination of sounds used to express an appellation attached to a thing by customary use, by which it may be vocally distinguished from other things. Something that is identical to it for identification purposes, like a label, a brand, a tattoo, a mark, a sign, like sign your name. A leg band, an ear tag, anything by which a thing may be known. So we could say a name is that by which a thing is known. So a name is not the thing, but only the thing used to know the thing, a proximate thing. In order to identify the thing, it must be attached to it like a label, or the thing must bear it or carry it, or the thing must claim to be it. That's my name. Now, if the name of the thing is changed, the thing is still the same. Only the name changed, but you will no longer be able to know the thing by the name. You may have to actually look at it in order to recognize it. So a rose is a rose by any other name. A name is not the thing. A name is the same thing. But when the thing changes or transforms, then so does the name, obviously, because it is no longer the same thing. A caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. That's a transformation. Remember, the purpose of these programs are a transformation of the mind. When you no longer believe what you have become, when you no longer believe you are this, then you are just that, a different thing. It is impossible to become anything, and that is a fact. You can think it or appear as it, but not become it. It is impossible, and that is a fact. When the caterpillar became a butterfly, it can no longer be a caterpillar because it transformed. It became something else. In your case, what you believe you are or what you became is just in your head. It's in your mind. So do you need a name? Well, the United Nations says everybody has a right to a name and a nationality. That would be a name and a family name. A nation is a family. But you were already born into a family. You already have a family name. Why would you need a new one? So a nationality creates a new identity. Not the one you were born with, which is your birthright. No, this new identity, your nationality, is an identity to conceal your real identity, your birthright. It is a mask, a person. What does it mean to make a name for yourself, also called making one's mark? If you have no name, can you just make a mark, an X? That's my mark. That's my name. If you're illiterate, just make a sign, a mark. Something to indicate your approval, your consent, whatever. In 1991, a Swedish couple refused to give their newborn a legal name in protest of existing naming laws. So I guess they have laws concerning naming. Maybe we do too here in Canada. In 1996, when fined after leaving their child legally nameless for 5 years, they submitted the child's name as, I knew a lady who had identical twins. She was born. She had two little baby boys. One was bigger than the other. They hadn't decided on any names yet. So when they registered their children, or sorry, just the event of their birth, they wrote in the forms big one and little one. And to this day, if you look in their ancestry thing, their registration, the country they were born into, it says big one and little one. That was their first legal name. So who has the right to name a thing? Well, whoever owns it has a right to name it. So who names you? Your parents. Your parents own you. Do they give you a family or nationality name? No. Your family is automatic. You're born into a family name by blood, not by affinity. Affinity is something different. But if they own you, how can family services take your child away from you? Did you do something to lose dominion over your child? Did you do something to lose dominion over yourself? Did you do something to change your family name? Remember when the atonement is? New father, new lord. Do you remember my story about your inheritance you can claim if you return home? Starting to understand that maybe a little bit. Watch the news on TV and wake up. Parents are routinely charged with kidnapping their own children. Who charges them? The real parent? No. The adopted parent. A choice you made. Something you adopted. Her Majesty the Queen will charge them here in Canada. They're her children, not yours anymore, according to law. You people are confused. Why would you raise someone else's child? Of course it's your real child. It's all up in here. But you are mentally incompetent to understand this. You are incompetent to provide for your own child because you don't own anything. Let me give up my child so I can get a child care tax benefit. The owner of the child will start to give the child the necessities of life. Why? Because you own no property. Don't register your child, and the state, the queen, will not take care of your child or send you a child care benefit to feed, clothes, or house this child. I can't even begin to tell you how evil this all is. The needless pain and suffering of families, mothers and fathers, and of course the children, all because they do not own anything, all because of your atonement. And now you're saying, oh, there's probably bad parents out there. Yeah, but there's laws against that too. See, we're sold concepts, we're sold things that appear right, but they're totally unlawful. I told you in the intro video that this is a cruel hoax, causes almost all the pain and suffering in the world. It isn't until you can grasp the whole picture that you will be able to see it and feel it. Let me tell you a couple of true stories just to emphasize this. There was a lady in one of the United States, and she was at a meeting where parents were all getting together with trustees and board officials and other government officials on setting up the school curriculum, you know, your government-approved education. And this one lady was going on and on and on about she wanted this and she wanted that and everything. And of course, one of these masters of confusion sitting there, he was a senator, but he was also a lawyer, an attorney, a treasonous bastard. And he's sitting there bored to tears like, you dumb, incompetent idiot. Why do you keep shooting your mouth off? You don't know anything. So I guess he had somewhere to go. So he finally just turns to her and says, excuse me, ma'am, but do you have a marriage license? She goes, yeah, of course I do. And he says to her, has no one ever told you that a marriage license is a privilege from the state? And that every child born to that license is a ward of the state? In other words, sit down, shut up, it's not your child. We'll all decide what happens with this child. So do you still think that if you have no marriage license, you're living in sin? That's what people actually believe. I don't have a legal marriage license, I'm living in sin. There was another case where this boy, 7, 8 years old, was playing in the backyard. Of course, it's a school day. We have truancy laws. Every child, by law, has to be educated by the state, government-approved education. So somebody saw this, some tattletale, so they phoned family services and said, look, there's a child not in school. And he was of school age. So the father of his family, he gets a letter in the mail saying, your child is not in school. We've become aware of that. And under law, this child has to be in school every day. Now, it's your right to choose what kind of education, private, public, whatever, for your child. But the child must be educated. And if you don't respond within so many days, we'll be taking legal action against you. And, of course, all the way to we'll take your child if we have to. Well, this father, he knew some of these things. He knew some things about the world. And him and his wife did not have a marriage license, and he never registered the birth of his child. He says, this is my child. I think I will keep it, and I'll raise it, educate it, feed and clothe it myself. Even though this man owns no property either. Well, after he sent that letter to the Ministry of Family Services, this lady wrote back to him from the legal department saying, after reviewing your case and the particulars of this, we will be taking no legal action against you, and this matter is now closed and resolved. You see, this man did not give his child. He didn't sacrifice his child to the state. This child did not do an atonement. So, what does in the name of mean? Basically means by the authority of. Who is the author of your legal name? When you do something in or on someone's behalf means to do it in their name. In Canada, everyone does everything. All your acts, what you call law. Everyone does everything in the Queen's name. Now, Queen's is N apostrophe S. That's possessive. That's a genitive case. They act, speak, and think in her name. She is the author of your legal name. Your name is the Queen's name. You became her man when you atoned, and she names you. Okay? It's her name, not your name. You own nothing, not even your name. You act in the name of the Father. Or of your father, father of the country. So your name is of Canada, of Her Majesty the Queen. You are of Canada, you belong to Canada, you are the property of Canada. When you atoned. Of means from or out of, proceeding from, as the cause, source, means, or author. It means to come from or belong to. Hence, of, simple little word, of, is the sign of the genitive case. The case expressing ownership. The case that denotes production as the son of man, the son of Canada. But of course, these aren't living things. This is fictional. This is dead. Okay? It does not exist in nature or reality. Anything that produces an unnatural effect is witchcraft. That's what it is. That's the definition of witchcraft. So you can be in Canada and not of Canada. Okay? Can you change your name? You know, people want to change their name. Well, I'm sure if you owned a name, you could change it. Of course you could. But you don't own your legal name, so you can't change it. In Canada, if you want to change your legal name, you have to apply for approval. Well, who do you ask for permission or approval to change your name? Well, nobody, because it's not your name. It's a name you're using. Okay? So you apply to the owner. Well, I must be using the wrong name. It can't be mine. If it was your name, you just change it. Phone all your friends, send them an email. Hey, I changed my name. From now on, I will be known as such and such. So now there are two distinct beings, but your government does not recognize a man, only a person. So your name must be a personal name. And when one assumes the body of the dead fiction to personify it, to give body, your body, to it, it becomes one and the same. You see, when you become something, you are no longer what you were. It is just impossible. Every time you use your government-issued identification as a claim to be or purport to be, which means intend to deceive, and every time you go to court and state your name for the record, you are letting yourself be used as a medium for the dead. Every time you use your government identification, you're using an identity, a mask, a face you made for yourself. When you get on an airplane, when you rent a hotel, open a bank account, anything at all, you're using a false identity to conceal your real identity. And all these things are against the law, by the way. So, how do you like the occult? How do you like conjurations, sorcery, black arts, witchcraft, necromancy? All these things are going on, and you do them every day of your life. Now, did you make your real name public? Public means belongs to or concerning the whole. You do not own your name. The public does. The one does. Your name is in the public domain. You are only part of the public, a part of one, a party to one, a participant of the one. Out of many, you became one, but you are just a party to it, a part of it. And your name becomes the one, from the one. A little hard to grasp, maybe. If you do not own your name, whose name are you putting everything in that you think you own? Is your house in your name? Is your car in your name? All these things that are in your name. Nothing's in your name. You don't have a name. You don't own a name. If you do not own anything, everything you possess is obtained by usury. You only have an interest in it. You only hold title. You do not own title to anything. You even made your name public. Usury is not only charging interest, but taking interest. The one paying interest is as guilty as the one taking interest. More on this in the confusion of money, the next program. But if you don't own anything, everything you possess is by usury. Everybody thinks usury is just charging interest on money, or nowadays, an exorbitant amount of interest. No, no. Any interest in someone else's property is usury. When you are summoned to appear in person in court, you are summoned to appear in Her Majesty's name. That is the genitive case, not your name, in her name. You are her son and she named you. You are her man. She is the author of the son's name, the name of the countryman. The Toronto man, the Seattle man, the Ohio man, the Ontario man. These are all adjectives of men. And you are commanded to appear in person, your adopted name. An adopted name or parent is a legal fiction. It's not real. Can you appear in your own name? No. Appearing to be anything is witchcraft. You can't appear to be you. You are you. You lost ownership to your name when you made it public, when you atoned. You voluntarily transferred title and possession when you became an attorney at law. Your original landlord does not know or recognize you anymore. Do you remember the inheritance story when you returned to your real father? He does not remember you. You have practiced iniquity, pretending to be who you are not. You have a mask on. You have become a fiction of law. Now, the Registrar General's office deals with four things. They keep the records of birth, marriages, death, and name changes. That one is called the Change of Name Act. They also claim to record only events, not people. But being on Brain Dumber, I will never figure out that the details of the event that are registered is the same as registering people. If I register the birth of a cow, I'm registering the cow, aren't I? So to register the birth of your newborn baby, this is right from government websites, to To register to birth your newborn baby, you need to be the mother, father, or parent named on the birth registration, legal guardian, or an informant acting on the mother's behalf. So, when you register your child, you're an informant, a traitor. A short form birth certificate includes basic information and can be used as identification. It can be used as identification. So if your government says you can use this as identification, it's because they own it. You can use it. They're giving you permission to use it. If you owned it, you don't need permission to use your own identification, your own identity. And it went on saying, you know, you have to register your baby and you have to do that and everything else. Well, a baby is a newborn Babylonian. I just thought you'd like to know what your baby is and where that word comes from. Our legal system does not only have its origins from the Roman Empire, but it goes back to the Hammurabi Code. Hammurabi was one of the kings of Babylon. We still use many things in our legal systems based on the Hammurabi Code. So let's look at a birth certificate. An Ontario, Canada birth certificate is a certified birth of a countryman. A Canadian man, a U.S. man, California man, Los Angeles man, whatever. A countryman is a pagan. That comes straight from the original Daniel Webster's Dictionary. You won't read that today because you're not supposed to know that today. So if you are a member of any country, you are a pagan, if that bothers you. Most people couldn't care less. You are involved in pagan rituals. Well, that should bother you because that's the occult. Sorry. Now, do I need to say the next sentence? Or can you figure it out? So love of country is love of paganism. Who would ever think a country is something that's unlawful?
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476.
So let's look at the forms at registration when you register the birth of your child. There are two required. The first one's called a notice of live or stillbirth. So there's a witness that's going to fill out this notice, this form. And this is the one pretending to care for you, but are only really there as a spy and a witness. This is your doctor, midwife, nurse, whatever. They are also an informant. Then form two, I don't have one here, which is your what parents fill out, what they call statement of birth or statement of registration. This comes from the real mother or father. Remember, the statement of birth cannot be used as identification. It says right now on government website, the statement of birth cannot be used as identification. So the statement of birth that your parents filled out, that's not identification. That's not who you are. No, no, that doesn't identify you. Now how stupid's that? We must have a confusion of being. Something's going on here. You see, in reality, out of one, we are many. This is your birthright. Your country is, out of many, we are one. This new one has to make the new statement, a new identity. You've transformed yourself. You've become something else. When the statement is verified, it is given an enrollment number, an identity number, a number of the name. On form two, the one that you fill out, you put in the child's name. You actually name the child. You're naming this invention, if you like. This is a letters patent, and your country holds this. Your country holds the patent because you've transferred title and possession. A corporate or account number doing business as Justin Dimwit, just like a numbered company doing business as Walmart. The top right-hand corner of your registration, once it's been accepted, verified by the mouth of two witnesses, this is what happens, two statements, two informants, the matter is established. Then an enrollment, an identity number is put in the top right-hand corner. From then on, this will be your unique number doing business as Justin Dimwit. This will be your number doing business as Walmart. This will be your number doing business as, this is an account number. Just keep track of you. So you are now an article of commerce and you are an asset of the country. Now, after you register your child, now they send you a receipt, acknowledgement of registration. This is what one looks like. They're different today, but this is what they used to look like. So this is acknowledgement of registration of birth or stillbirth. Okay, so now you can request, apply for, and beg to be a member because they have the registration. The tournament's been done already. But remember, it's a trick. You apply to become a member of this country, to establish a new identity, to conceal your real or true identity. And, of course, you fill out a big application. Well, why would you do that? Because, you see, when that statement was verified by both informants, the Division Registrar General puts a code number on there. And it matches this code number right here. You don't have to fill out an application to get a birth certificate. You've got a receipt. Just take this, and there's my code number. And it'll go right to the statement. There's the matching code number. Here's your birth certificate. Try it. See if they'll give you a birth certificate. No, because you have to request, you have to apply, you have to beg, and you have to authorize and consent to becoming this. And this is all on this form, which you end up signing and saying, making an oath, a declaration, that this is all true and none of this is false or intended to deceive anybody. So you see, in the end, you become the fraudster, but you're only enticed and suborned into doing this. So this is what you get from them, and someone should try that. I'm not involved in this pseudo-law anymore, so I don't. I wouldn't be able to do this anyways. So now, there's a trick going on here. You're becoming a fool. You're about to lose all your property, to abandon your birthright. You're about to do an atonement. You're about to do a transformation of the mind. So you request a birth certificate so you can be normal like all the other boys and girls. Who wants to be weird and peculiar? I want to be common, normal, usual, ordinary. So you fill out an application. I've got written here, why don't you just use the receipt from the code number? It takes you right to the statement that was registered. Now, when they look at everything, you put in your name, who your mom is, who your dad is, what their maiden name is, how much I weighed, and what my eye color is, and whatever else. And you think by all those things they're going to be able to figure out where's this registered statement. No, no. They just go straight to the number. They don't care what you're writing there. And then you get your birth certificate. That's what a birth certificate looks like. So you get your birth certificate, and this is an official document, so you have an office now, okay, a franchise, something you have to account for, duties, responsibilities, debts, all sorts of things. And of course, we just punch out what we think is the birth certificate here, and but this is all part of the official document, okay? Now, on the very bottom of this, you see right here, you probably can't make that out, but there's some instructions here. And this is what the instructions say. It says, please refer to the certificate number if corresponding with respect to the certificate. So there's the certificate number. 91, that was a year. 300542, that's the number that's on the top right-hand corner when you enrolled on your registration form. Okay? Oh, sorry, no, not certificate number, the registration number. These six numbers right here. These six numbers come right from your registration form, okay? But this is a new certificate certifying this registration. So there's the registration number and here's the certificate number. Then there's another number on the back called certificate number, but that's something different. So here it says, please refer to the certificate number. How many of you go in when you use your birth certificate and give them your certificate number? No, you give them your name, you fill out the whole application, here's my name, here's where I live, this is what I want, and everything else. But when you give them the birth certificate, your servants aren't stupid, they're just writing down your certificate number because it says, please refer to the certificate number if you're corresponding. There's a corresponding thing going on here with respect to the certificate. They even say, please. Please do it. Nobody does it. Just give them your number. That's all you need. It's the only thing that's unique. So we are taught to identify ourselves based on name, date of birth, and address. So you have a name, address, and serial number. That's a serial number that's on your registration. These are the things that make up a son of Canada or a person. But we're all taught, use your name. your date of birth, your address. None of these things are unique to you. Where you live, the chances of the same name born on the same day at the same address is almost nil. So chances are, yeah, it's got to be you. Nobody wants to look at you to see if it's actually you. No, we're looking for an identity, not you. Your identity, who you are, is self-evident. We're looking for a person, and we need a separate identity for that. But only your number is unique to you. That number, nobody else has that number, okay? It doesn't matter if you live in the same house, same address, have the same name, right? We're all just 1400 John Smiths. Doesn't matter. The number is unique. A number is needed because the family is too big. See, Ontario family, Canadian family, it's too big. Daddy can't remember everyone's name. And because you are no longer self-evident, you require proof of this graven identity. This is a mask. You can change your name, but not the number. Why don't you put in an application for a change of number instead of change of name? So you ever see people go into a witness protection program to give them a new identity, new name, new address, give them some money, set you up because you were a tattletale on somebody else in your society? But you can bet the number stays the same. And even if they change the number, that number will correspond with the previous number. It's the number they follow. It's the only unique identifier. Okay? Now, this is, again, straight from government websites and stuff. It says, a national identification number or national identity card number is used by the governments of many countries as a means of tracking their citizens, permanent residents, and temporary residents for the purposes of work, taxation, government benefits, health care, and other governmental related functions. Sometimes a number will appear on the identity card used by a country. The way in which such a number is implemented is dependent on the country, but in most cases, a citizen is issued a number at birth. Not in most cases, in all cases, everyone gets an identification number at birth. After all, it is the number of the name and it is unique to you. This is your identity. A national identification number, a national identity card number, is used by the government of many countries as a means of tracking their citizens. I already read that, sorry. The ways in which such a system is implemented is dependent upon the country. In most cases, a citizen is issued a number at birth. Non-citizens are issued such numbers when they enter the country. So if you enter illegally, you're not going to get a number, but if you enter a country and join it, they will give you a number when you go through customs, border patrol and stuff. There'll be a number from the other country. Everything's recorded. Then it says, many countries issue such numbers ostensibly for a singular purpose, but over time they become a de facto national identification number. For example, the United States originally developed its Social Security number system as a means of dispersing Social Security benefits. But due to functionality creep, the number has become utilized for other purposes to the point where it is almost essential to have one in order to, among other things, open a bank account, obtain a credit card, or drive a car. Programs is to get control of you, to give you a number. It's not the other way around, okay? Have you ever heard now governments are thinking of issuing a real identity number, a real identity whatever? Well, if it's not real identity, what is all my other identity? It's not real identity? No, it's not your real identity. This is how the trick's done. It's an illusion. So one day I opened a Bible and the first few pages had forms where you can record the same kind of events. Surprised me. In the front of the Bible, it'd be a place where you could record births, deaths, marriages, but no change of name. I thought, wow, but same thing, because you see, this also is a family. You're born into a family and you record your family name in there and so forth. You see, the beings recorded in the Bible, they call it the Book of Life, are living. This is why it is called the Book of Life. This landlord is the Lord of the living. The beings recorded by the Office of the Registrar General are also living, but the beings issued by the Office of the Registrar General are dead. This is a sacrificial offering. You come in one side living, you come out the other side dead. As a matter of law, it doesn't matter physically living or dead. It has nothing to do with that. I should also tell you that in very old family records, the children of a marriage were called their issue. On your birth certificate, there is also a date of issue, along with your date of birth. It is the certified birth of this issue, which is the identity you use to conceal your true identity, your birthright. Not the date of your real birth, but the date of birth of what you have become, what you want it to be, what you claim to be, what and who you purport to be. Now this is on from the government website again. It says, what's the difference between a birth registration and a birth certificate? Well, a birth registration contains information about a newborn and is used to create his or her permanent record. I thought this was an identity. In fact, it is a birthright, and you are about to abandon it. The birthright, this is in brackets is what I wrote. Then it says, the birth registration form cannot, they have underlined on their website, cannot itself be used as proof of identity to request documents such as passports or Ontario health cards. Information found on the birth registration is used to create a birth certificate. Are you following this? What your parents wrote there, your identity, naming you, this can't be used as identification because you haven't become one of them yet. But the exact information on the form is put onto their form and they issue it as the author now, as the father of the son, right? You become a member of it. And now this is your new identity. Same information, same everything. Different identity, though. To become anything is a transformation. A transformation is to change your form, how you were formed. A new maker, new creator, to be reborn as of the issue date. But the life of this rebirth being is not living. It is dead. It is called a civil life. Your birth certificate does not certify a live birth, only a civil life. This is also from their website. Birth registration, free. You do not have to pay to alienate your property because you're giving up something. There is no fee for doing an atonement. It is the atonement that creates the fee. Once the atonement is done, now you've got to start paying fee for everything. The feud with your original landlord. In a birth registration, it says, birth registration in Ontario is a two-step process. Two forms must be submitted and matched in order for a birth registration to occur. The first form, the notice of live birth form, is completed by medical staff and submitted to the Office of the Registrar General. The second form, the statement of live birth form, is completed by parents of newborns and is then submitted directly to the Office of the Registrar General. It is the matching of these two forms that create a birth registration. Now everything has changed. A total transformation has occurred. Now you own nothing and have to start begging. Still think your name is important? Whose name you put everything in? Whose name you're acting in? Very, very important, your name. The next video program is very important too. In fact, it is crucial to the swindle. It is called Confusion of Money. We all like money, don't want to miss this one. You have a type of property that can only be stolen from you as an accomplice, as an unwitting accomplice to the fraud. The swindle cannot work without this blatant deception. It would have no value. None. Confusion of money. Till then, my name is Marcus.
I hoped you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Servant King. Hi, my name is Marcus. Marcus will continue to explore our confusions of things. Mind, being, voice, face, law, things, money, and God. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org, under podcast/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives the Living Testimony, second edition with added preference and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as the Creator poster, the Natural Laws poster, and do enter to win a free copy of my book. Winners are named every 3 months, along with more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, and book signings. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.